It was at the bottom of Membamavin Bet. This is continuing from the Gemara yesterday. We discussed in the Mishnah when the woman eats the tamarim as she gets them, then it creates a problem, possibly in the Kiddushin. We had two possibilities when we explained our Mishnah yesterday, which will become relevant again. The Mishnah concluded with the statement that if she was eating them Rishon or Rishona, Einu Mekadesha She'Bechat Nehem Shavet Prutah. So we didn't know if that modified the second half of the Mishnah or the first half of the Mishnah. So Rav Ami suggested it modified the second half of the Mishnah, and that even when he says Bezu, 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 or it generally would be one entity, and you would count all the tamarim towards the Kiddushin. If she eats them one by one by one, then only the last one will count, because the others, until that point, are considered a milga, they're considered alone, and therefore only if the last or final tamar has a prutah in it, would it be sufficient. That's the way Rav Am explained our Mishnah. As opposed to that, Rav and Shmuel explained the Mishnah that Eutochel Achad Achad is going on the Reisha, on the first case of Mishnah, when he says he'd catch the bazoo, he'd catch the bazoo, he'd catch the zoo, that he takes individually each one. And the Chiddush of Haitah Chelet is that even though she's eating it, and she gets extra hana from the eating, that we don't say, therefore she is Mikudeshet, right, even when it's less than a pruta. You still need a full pruta, even when she's eating them. That's what we explain. Now, Rava comes along and says, as an additional qualification, Amar Rava, Lo Shanu, El Delo Amar La, Bizu, U Bizu, Bizu. That, what we say, that when she eats them, it's a problem, and that only the last one counts towards the Kiddushin, that's only if they use the Lashon of Bizu, U Bizu, Bizu. Avar Amar La, Be'elu, if he uses the term, with all of these, afilo ochelet, even if she eats one by one, nami kikudeshet, then she's also mikudeshet, kika'achla mida'afshaka'achla, because when she's eating it of her own. So David, you asked this yesterday, and we spoke about this Tosfos. Tosfos distinguishes between a case where if you complete the statement of Kiddushin, and then you start handing her items, that even though she eats the item one by one, she's still getting all those items in the, right, each one of them or all of them are in the context of the Kiddushin, because they're already hers. Whereas if he's still in the middle of his statement, if he's still speaking about the Kiddushin and she's eating them along the way, then it becomes a milveh, it becomes alone. So it's exactly, if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains this in the Aval Be'elu. If you look in the Rashi, it's in the last wide line in the top there, Rashi, Be'avel Be'elu, the Kabbalah Tarishona, right, Lo Batli Adabatorat Milveh, that they don't come to her hand as a loan anymore, the Mishinigmar Hadibor, Hikmi Alabatorat Kiddushin. Once he's made his full statement, then everything that he's handing to her now comes as part of that statement of Kiddushin. So therefore, when he says, Hitkachi Be'elu, now the statement of Kiddushin is done, and now he starts handing her the Elu. If she's eating them along the way, they're all still part of the Kiddushin. As opposed to, if he says to her, Hitkachi Bizu, he hands it to her and she eats it. Bizu, she's eating it. He's still speaking about the Kiddushin and she's popping them into her mouth. In that case, the original ones are going to be considered a milveh, right, and not part of the Kiddushin. So that's the statement of Rava. Tanya Kavas is Rava. So we have a Braisa that's like Rava. It's going to take us a while to get back to why the Braisa is like Rava. But here we go. So he's Kachili, the Alon, the Rimon, Ube Egos. She says, get married to me with an Alon, Rimon, and Egos. Rimon and Egos, right? There's a pomegranate, Egos. Is either a walnut or some sort of nut, right? Alone is an oak tree, so it's got to be the fruit of the oak tree. Rashi describes it as an aglanut or an eichlin. I don't know, sounded a little like a chestnut to me. I don't know what the fruit is that it's referred to, but obviously it's some sort of nut or fruit that is coming off the tree. So he says, he means kaddish to me with alone, be one, and it goes, oh, sharmalai kashi li be'elu. If they altogether equal a pruta, mikudeshet. Him lav, ain't a mikudeshet. Now, if you use the lashon of bizu, ubizu, bizu, imyesh bekulan shave pruta, mikudeshet. Him lav, ain't a mikudeshet. So the exact same din. Okay, already you can see there's a problem in the Braisa, which is Braisa just gave us two cases that have the exact same din. Both of them say that if all of them have a pruta, it works. If I don't have a pruta, it doesn't work. So why separate between the elu and bazoo. Why create two cases out of it? Now the next thing is, and this presents us the same problem we had in our Mishnah, which is bazoo natal to be achloto. She says, take this one and she eats it. Take this one, eats it. Vod bazoo, vod bazoo. Kain v'kadesh and sheba achat nehem shavet pruta. There's not again. She's not married until one of them has a shavet pruta. Again, here you have the case of a chalit. And what is that modifying of the first cases that was here? Is that describing which of the first cases is telling us the din by ochelet is different? So now Gemara is going to dissect the raisa. Haiba alone, the rimon, it goes, hefidami. What's the case when he says to her, alone rimon, and it goes? Because the Mishnah actually presented two cases in the beginning. Hefidami alone, the rimon, it goes. Oh, shamalar, hefidami ba'ilu. So what's this case of alone rimon, and it goes? It's ajib, achadman, shabbat pruta, haiba alone, rimon, hefidami. Ilay madam Allah, oba alone, obi rimon, obi goes. Says, you get married to me with one of these, meaning this or this or this. How could you suggest that they all together make up the Kiddushin here? Because he says, he's saying or this, or this, or this, which by definition says that he's offering them as separate entities. Bela, so what must it be that he said? He says, Belon, ubi rimon, ube goes, with this, and this, and this. So if he did that, hainu, bazoo, ubazoo, ubazoo. Right? What's the difference? Right? Ella loved amarla be'elu. That must be that he's saying to her be'elu with all of these. So where it says, having tani seifa, osha amarla, you've got to be be'elu. Meaning that's the next case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah already has a case of be'elu. So why do I need that? So ma'al the ratio, la be'elu skin. It can't be done be'elu. So where it says, no. This is how to read this braisa. Perushe kamiforesh. The braisa is coming to explain what the term means. It's actually balon, ubi rimon, ve'egos. Be married to me with these three nuts or fruits. Ketzad, what did he say? Kagon, damalai, ikachuli be'elu. Right, and if he says ikachuli be'elu, then it will work, meaning that in terms it makes them into one cloud, it makes them into one principle. Bektani, seifa, now the last part of the Mishnah says, bezu natal tova chalto, im yesh b'chat mehem shavet putzeh mikudeshet, v'imlav, einu mikudeshet. So that last statement in the Braisa modifies, right, the second case in the Braisa. Right, again, now, the way the Gemara is reading the Braisa, there's actually three cases in the Braisa. There's a case called Be'elu. That's the next case is called Bazoo. In both of those cases, the Braisa gave the same din, which is that if all of them together have a pruta, it works. Right? If not, it doesn't work. Then, the Braisa brought a third case, which says that if she eats them along the way, then you need to have one of them have a shavet pruta, and they don't add together. So now, that bazoo, and the last one says mikudeshet, is similar to the second case, right? Because it says bazoo, natal to v'achloto. She eats it, bazoo, and then she takes it and eats it. Sounds like the second case we described, which is bazoo. So that's the case. Now,
but doesn't say that she eats it.
Right, so but that's my nacha. Right, very good. So now, v'imlav, ein v'kadesh, v'ilu reisha, lo kamaklik ben ochelet l'manechet, shma mina kochecha damala be'elu, that if he says be'elu ki ka'achla, midinapsha ka'achla, shma mina. So here we have a proof to Rava's position. Why? Because when the Mishnah, the Braisa laid out two cases, it laid out one case called be'elu. The case of be'elu, the Mishnah says, if all of them together have a pruta, it works. If not, it doesn't work. Over there, the Braisa never qualifies that statement and says, well, if she eats them, there's a different din. The Braisa is silent about that, which suggests that the din will be the same whether she eats them or whether she puts them down. When she says, Be'elu, it's always good, and they will add together to make up a pruta. As opposed to that, in the next case in the Braisa, and this is why the Braisa split these cases out, even though they have the same din, when the Braisa said, Bazoo, right, and Braisa gave the same din, that if all together they have a pruta, then it works. Right? If not, it doesn't. So we see the same din as we said, Be'elu. But, in addition to that, there's another qualifying statement in the Braisa which says, if she eats them in that instance, then they don't add together anymore. That you have to have a pruta worth in one of them in order for it to work. Then there's a difference between manachet, like David just said, the difference when she puts them down, and he says, bazoo, they will add together. Whereas if bazoo, and then she's eating them as she's giving to them, they will not add together. So the difference between the elu and bazoo is, even though when she puts them down, they have the same din, which is that they all add together. But if they eat them, they will have a different din. If she eats them, but elu, it'll still work to be a total package. You'll look at it as a whole. Whereas bzu, they'll be looked at individually. And that'll be a proof to Rava's position. Rava just said, Rava's statement was that the only time we say that ochelet along the way makes them into separate items is when you said bzu. But if you said be'elu, when she eats them, she's eating her own stuff. And again, what's the difference? Why is it different? He said, because he's finished his statement of kiddushin. Be'elu, he makes the entire statement of kiddushin, and then he's handing her items. So when he's handing these items, they're all part of the statement of kiddushin. As opposed to bzu, the statement of kiddushin is continuing even after he's giving her the items and she's eating them. And therefore, the upfront items, the first items, become a milveh, and only until he finishes the statement of kiddushin, then does everything become effective, and that will be a mekadesh for milveh, which won't be, or won't work. So therefore, it can't be. Now, this is where it gets a little bit more difficult. So what it says now, remember, so far we said, what? Bzu, we have the same problem with this brisa that we had with the Mishnah yesterday, which is that when it says bzu, and it says that she eats one by one, it says that if any one of them has a shavapruta, it works. Wait a minute. We had the problem when we explained the Mishnah yesterday. If that doesn't work, why? Because all the upfront ones are b'milveh. So how could she be marrying with the first ones if they're shavapruta? Right? So Rav Ami solved that problem yesterday and says, no, it really means the last one. But what are you going to say over here? We didn't say that. So that's what the Gemara is going to do now. Hanicha demanda Omar. This works well. Our brisa here can be explained according to one that says, Aseifakai. Back Rabbi Ami, who suggested by our Mishnah, that says that when it says Haitao Chelet in the Mishnah, it meant it was talking about the second case. And what does it mean? Achei Bachona Shavapruta. We say, Achat Mehem Shavapruta, that one of them is worth the Pruta. That meant the last one. Also over here. We're gonna, when we say achat mehem pruta in our brisa, it means the exact same thing as it did in the Mishnah, which means the last one. Only when the last one has a shavu pruta will it work, otherwise it won't work. Elo the Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, said that haitau chelet referenced, right, the ratio of the Mishnah, which means it was talking about a case where they were mifarit, a case where there were separate statements of kiddushin. Damri tarvayu areshakai, because they say it goes on the ratio. Why do we need the extra case of ochelet? In the first case in the Mishnah, it's obvious that they're separate. He said hitkachi, they're all separate. But what was the chiddush? The chiddush was because she ate them. Despite the fact that she ate them, and mikarvana haniyata, she gets extra ana, we still need to say she needs a shavapruta. So then, how are they going to explain this brisa? Rav and Shmuel said the statement of haita ochelet in our Mishnah was referencing a case where they were separate, each kiddushin was a separate statement. Over here, our brisa never has that. Our brisa only has prate, only has cases where it's klali, where it's all one pruta, everything is considered together to consider classified towards the pruta. There is no case in our brisa that says separate. So how are they going to explain the case of haita ochelet in this brisa? The case here is a case of haita ochelet, we're talking about a klala, going on a klala, on a general principle, and it says that any one of them will be shavu pruta to work. So according to them, how does that work? It's mekadesh b'milveh, how's that going to work? So where's Hanmani Rabihi? The author of this part of the Mishnah is Rabbi. Damar, because he says, loshna kezayit kezayit, veloshna kezayit vikezayit, prate havi. As long as you enumerate, basically according to Rabbi, when you enumerate items, even if you use above a chibur, they're considered separate. So when you say, yikachli bezu, ubezu, bzu bzu, that's considered the same as saying ikachi bzu, ikachi bzu, ikachi bzu. It's the same. Now, what the problem is that our Mishnah already has an explicit statement that says ikachi bzu 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 means that it all goes together as one clock. So Rabbi can't be the author of that. So now, what do we say? Our Mishnah, that brisa, actually has two authors to it. Right. The end will be a separate author. The first two cases will be one Tana, not Rabbi, who says that the Elu and Bzu are considered a cloud. It's considered one big picture. Then we have a safe by case of Aitel Chelet. That will be explained by who? That will be Rabbi. Rabbi will be a different Tana who explains, and he comes and says, according to the Tana like Rabbi, who says Bzu means equivalent of Yitzkashi Bzu. That's the case where he says that if she eats them one by one, that if any one of them has a Shavit Bruta, it works. What's the Chiddush? The Kiddush is the same as we saw in the Mishnah. The Kiddush is that even though she's eating them, we still require a Shavei Pruta. Even though she's getting the extra Hana, we still require that additional Hana is not sufficient to overcome the lack of a Pruta. And she'll need a Pruta in each of these cases. So again, it's the end. The Braisa doesn't read so smoothly that the first two cases in the Braisa are one Tana, and the last case in the Braisa is a different Tana according to Rav and Shmuel. And because of that, those tonight argue about how bzu works. And they argue both if you eat it or if you leave it. They're going to argue about this case. That bzu according to Rabbi, whether she eats it or whether she leaves it are considered separate cases. According to the Tana beforehand, that's not true. That when she says bzu, it's one big pile and you get it all together if it's a pruta. But if she ate them in that case, according to the first Tana, there would be a different din. And then maybe only the last one would be valid for a pruta, not all of them along the way. And so that's how Rabbi Shmuel can explain the braisa. The difference between Rabbi Ami, which it fits in nicely, this braisa, is according to Rabbi Shmuel, they have to break the braisa up into have two authors to the braisa in order to come up with their, or jive with their explanation that we had in the Mishnah.
Now, the
way the Rishonim explain it here, it says there still is a difference of Ochelet, but that's not addressed by the Mishnah. Because that last piece, it's not the simplest way to read the Braisa, but they have to do something to come up and solve the problem of how it matches with their explanation of the Mishnah. Right now, the next Sugya is a Sugya that we've seen before. We've seen it on Dav Zayin, right? We had it on Dav Zayin Mavamidbet, which is the Sugya of Mekadosh Milva. And if someone gets married with a loan, right, is Eina Mikudeshet. So we had that before, which is Amar Abaye Mekadosh Milva Eina Mikudeshet. Somebody gets married with a loan does not work, right? Because the milva is with hotza'an nitna, right? The milva does not really exist anymore. So it doesn't exist anymore. Therefore, it is considered or unable. You aren't able to make kedushin with it. The Gemara had an exception to that case. I'm not milva. With a nav alone, you could get married. The Gemara there says that that's a case of arba chlazimno, where he extended the due date of the loan. When he extended the due date of the loan, he's able to marry her with that extension. That presented many problems. Why is the extension of the loan, right, why different than the original loan itself? Right, the money is not there anymore. Right, there's nothing, so you have to come up. The last problem we had an additional case, and that was on the bottom of Zion. Bottom of Chet went out, which was the statement of Rav Nachman, that a person says, be mekadesh me with this money, and he gives her a mashko, right? Ain't a mikudeshet, right? Because mana inkan, mashkon inkan. Right? But if he
does mekadesh with
someone else's mashkon, it does work, right? So now, there we spoke about, there was a tosis over there to discuss the difference. We had an additional tosis that spoke about it, that about when someone forgives a loan, right? Or forgives back the mashkon that belongs to her, what happens? So over there we said if the loan is forgiven, right, that's enough or sufficient to create kiddushin. So the problem is, how do you reconcile? Oh, this is what we spoke about, right, in the past. I won't go over it all again. But the Rishonim have to reconcile between all these sugiyot, which is that a mekadesh b'milva ain't a mekadeshet. Whereas if you mekadesh with the forgiveness alone, you are mekadeshet. There, the Rambam and other Rishonim say that only works if he hands the mashkon back to her. That the forgiveness alone is only works as a mikadesh or a kiddushin if he actually hands the mashkon back, because then there's a physical object coming back to her. And that works. Tosfos, on the other hand, believe that even if he didn't hand the mashkon back, this mere fact that he forgave the loan is sufficient. So why is it Tosfos?
Just like
Arbach Lazim. No, exactly. Very good. So that's right. For Tosfos, Arbach Lazim, when he extends the maturity of the loan. Right? Forgiveness of the loan, extending the maturity of the loan, why should those be different? According to Tosfos, that's what Tosfos is saying, right? Exactly. Those two are similar. Mekadesh b'milva is different. How are they different? Right? It's a little more difficult to understand why Mekadesh b'milva is different and not. The Raibud has a qualification which comes out of our Gemara that the Arba Chlazimna only works when the money is still there. That she has the money now ready to repay him, And when he extends the loan, or if he gives the loan, the money's in her hand to use again. So the rabbi says, in that case, she has something. She has that noah to get again because the money's in her hand. Whereas if the loan is still out there and she doesn't have the money, she spent the money already, maybe not. And maybe Tosfos has to differentiate like that. The Rambam, on the other hand, believes that only when he hands her a physical object does it work. So again, Mikadosh B'mashka, Milva, when it's a forgiveness loan, we understand it because he's handing a mashkon back. But in the case of Mikadosh, regular Milva, it doesn't work because there's nothing here. There's no hanah from her. The problem for the Rambam is Arba L'Chalam Shazimna. What does it mean when he extends the maturity according to the Rambam? What's there that's physical? Again, he could have to explain, like the Rambam, that the extension, that the money is still there, is extended the time. So our Gemara will present an additional twist on that sugya again, and that's why I'm bringing up all these Rishonim. Again, we won't go through them. It's hard. It makes it much more difficult. The sugya doesn't have a consistent theme, and you're going to see that today. But here, the Gemara introduces a more interesting part, which is that there is someone who believes Kadosh Mimilva Mikudeshet. Okay, because of that, now you have to come up with a different explanation of what Bahutsan Nidna means. Okay, so now let's start. Amarab. Rab makes the general statement similar to a biased statement on Bubba Mnabet, which is a Makadish Mavilma and a Mikudeshit. Someone who gets married with a loan does not work. Why? Milba Lohotzan Nidna. Because over here, a Milba is given Lohotzan Nidna. What does it mean that a Milba is Lohotzan Nidna, right? So Rashi over here says an interesting item. Rashi is probably forced by the Gemara we're going to see in a second that comes up. Rashi, when he says Lohotzan Nidna, it's down in the wide lines. Second wide line down below. The loga can use the money for whatever purpose they would like. We don't force the borrower to actually spend the money on a physical object. Sounds imagine like a tangible object. We don't force the loga to spend it on a tangible object, which could be taken back at any time. I mean that if you invest money in an intangible right item, a patent, or even as a stock, or you buy into a some sort of business that doesn't have necessarily a tangible item to take back, assets to take back, right? Then there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing left here to take back. That's what it means to hold silent in that point to Rashi. Whereas if you have to force the loga to put it into a tangible asset, that means that the malveh always has the ability to get back whatever it is. Whether it's money or money equivalent, which is an asset, right? The malveh always has an object on which to grab back his money, so it's not hold silent. That's the way Rashi defines hold silent, or not the hold silent. Hold silent means I can spend it any way I want, meaning that I'm not forced to spend it on an asset or a money equivalent. Whereas, if I said, Lavotzanitna means that I'm spending it on a physical object. We're going to see in a second that the Gemara has another opinion, and we'll see where Rashi's interpretation, and whereas the Tosfos Zakein and others define it differently. So now the Gemara says, Neimar Ketanai, let us say that the statement of Rav is actually a Machlokas Tanaim. Why? Mekadesh Mimilve, Eino Mikudeshet. One who gets married with a loan is not Mikudeshet. V'yishomrim, Mikudeshet. Some people say that it works. So here's our opinion, which we haven't seen before. Before it seemed to be the Gemara had no question that a Mekadosh Mevilveh does not work. Now we have an opinion who says Mekadosh Mevilveh does work. So my love, the Hakim Mitzvah. Let's say this is exactly what they're arguing about. The Mar Savar Milva L'Hotzanitna. So Milva L'Hotzanitna, before, until this point, we thought that was easy. Milva L'Hotzanitna meant that before Rashi came along and gave us this new definition, we always thought that the Loga could do whatever he wants with the money. You don't have to return the same money that the person gave you. That's what it means, Lotza. As opposed to She'ilah, when you borrow an object, you have to return the same object you borrowed. You borrow somebody's phone, somebody's watch, you got to give back their watch or the phone. But when you borrow money from them, they don't expect you to give the exact coins or bills back. They expect you to give the equivalent value back. That's how we always define the Lotza. But the problem is, now we have an opinion that says, Mar Sever, Milva, Lav Lotza Nitna. What does that mean that a Milva is not, right, means Lav Lotza Nitna? So if until this point we thought the definition was that if I gave away money, you don't have to give me the same money back. That means now what do you think? If I hand you coins, you have to hand me the exact same coins back? That seems ludicrous. How could you ask for such a thing? So that's where Rashi came up with his new definition. Lotan Lolotza is whether you have to place it into a tangible asset or not. I mean, Lotan Nidna means I can do whatever I want with it. I can put it into intangible assets. I can buy into future money flows, whatever it is that I'm buying. Whereas means that I have to always buy hard assets. That means that I always have to have something physical that I can return to the malver. That's the way you're right. So I think Shaul's, well, I think Shaul's aura is a good aura, that you have to buy something that remains. I mean, that has to be, not only has to be a non-consumable, right? It has to be a durable item that you're buying, because you have to be able to somehow get it back. So that's, I think, a good aura. Now, Dovid is saying, I mean, what's going on here? What's the thought? So Tosfos Riyah Zokin explains it differently. And he explains it differently. You can see Rashi seems to flow into this also, which is the Tosfos Riyah Zokin explains it on the Gemara. We're going to see this in the second half of today's Amud. He says, I'll read it to you so you don't have to find it in Tosfos Riyah Zokin. It's in the middle here. It says, Mar Sever, Lav Ho Tzadina, the Chol Tzma Shel Lo Ho Tzia, Halove Yochol Mave Lach Zorbo, Im Kidish Tisha, Vadai Machel Lahana, Shati Yochol Ho Tzia Bitar Tzio. So Lav Ho Tzia, or Lav Ho Tzadina, is not about the entirety of the loan or the whole duration of the loan. It has to do with the first minute that you get the money. Once the Malva hands the money to the Lova, that money, is that money already gone? It has the Malva handed the money to the Lova, and it's as if it's spent already. And now the Malva can't reverse his position, because the Milva is the whole time. Now, once the money leaves the hands of the Malva, it's in the Lova's possession, and the Lova can do as he pleases with it. Or, do we say no? And when we say Milva lab the whole time, no, this means that when I hand the Malva hands the money to the Lova, the money is still there. And that means that the Malva can reverse his position as long as the money is still there. But as soon as the Lova starts to spend the money, or has spent all the money, then there's nothing to talk about, because then it's the Hotza Nidna. So the difference between Hotza and Lav Hotza Nidna is not about the loan once the money is spent. It's about prior to the money being spent, what's the status of the money. When someone hands you coins or cash, right? They don't expect in the end, they don't expect that cash back. But before you've spent the cash, and then they want it back, right? Can they demand that exact cash back? They hand you $100 bill and say, oh, you know what, I don't want to lend it to you. Can they then demand that exact $100 bill back? Or it's already a loan, and now you can repay them as you want. So is that the kind of new position, as long as you haven't spent the money yet? That would be the difference in these two opinions. So you're going to see the Gemara later on today is going to drive in that direction. That's probably what drove the Riyah Zokin. Now Rashi says something, it makes a qualification. It seems that he's also aware of this Tosfos Riyah Zokin. Look at Rashi in the second line when he says Ina Mikudeshet, right? It says when we say Hamikadesh Remova is Ina Mikudeshet, Rashi writes Akilu Yeshna Be'en, even if the money's still there. So Rashi's telling you that I know about this idea that even when it's still there, the money, it doesn't work, which is Rashi's kind of playing both of these objects. I mean, he seems to be talking, he has the definition of Otsah, and you're going to see Rashi over and over again through the sukkah, keeps saying, even if it's the end, or if it's the end. So Rashi knows about this idea that if the money's still there, that's a difference from Otsah and not Otsah. Rashi gives an additional explanation or an additional view of Otsah, which has to do with what we just said before, tangible, not consumable, or durable items, versus, right, spending it on whatever you want, right? As the Tosfos Riyah Zokin goes straight to the issue of whether it's Notzah Nitna or Nolah Tzah Nitna, which has to do with the moment that the money is given at that moment. Now, let's continue. The Gemara says, so how are we going to explain this? But this brought, the Gemara says, can you really make sense of that Machlokas being about Notzah Nitna or what? Why? Ema Seifa. The Seifa that Bryce says, V'shavim V'mecha Shezeh Kana. So now, it does not work. A milbe, a loan does not work to generate Kiddushin, but a loan can work to buy property. What does that mean? If you've lent money, Reuben has lent money to Shimon, and then he sees Shimon has this nice piece of land. He says, you know what? Instead of repaying the loan to me, why don't you, I'll take that piece, I'm going to buy that property from you, and the loan will be the payment. So everybody agrees that that works. Wait, if everybody agrees that works, then the definition of milva, how can you ever argue that milva is lohotzanit now? Right? Because if milva is lohotzanit now, what's the kinyan here? There's nothing here to make a kinyan on the land with. So it has to be, that cannot be the machlokas between them. If that's machlokas between them, why does it work by mecher and not by kiddushin? I mean, that if they were consistent in their opinions between mecher and kiddushin, you could explain the machlokas as being lohotzah or not lohotzanit now. But if you say that it works by mecher and not by kiddushin, the failure has to be in kiddushin and not in the hotzah or not hotzah aspect of it. So here, Mark, no hotzah nitna, but my koni. But how are you making a kinyan here if it's hotzah nitna? Now there's nothing here to make a kinyan with. So Amar Rav Nachman, Huna Chabin Bukim Lav Emilia Chorayim. Ravuna and his friends, his Talmidim, put together this Breisa, explained this Breisa in a different way. Where are they arguing? Marry me with 100, V'nif samana chaser dinar, and he only gives her 99. She counts it. After he gives her 100, he says, marry me with 100 mana. He hands her 100 mana, and she counts it. There's only 99 there. What's the din? Mar sever, that is, she's too embarrassed to ask for the last one. It's not one dinar. She's too embarrassed to ask for it, and therefore she does not get married. She's not married. Why? Because she's lo sam chadato. She doesn't think she's ever going to get the last dinar. He said 100. That's what she was getting married with. She only got 99, and she never thinks she's going to get the last 100. But she thinks she's not going to get the last 100. That's not a good condition. Umar Tzavar, look, Sibala Milsa. He said 100. He didn't give me 100. I'm going to go get my 100. So therefore, she's Sam Chadaka, the mitzvah. She can collect it, and she'll be Sam Chadaka and be married. This. The halaha. We already had a Gemara like this on Chenem and Aluf. This is one of the Gemaras, right, that we spoke about before. Damar Amalaz, Kashli Bimona, but not on the dinar. Says, marry you with 100, and then he hands her one dinar, Harizemi Kudeshit, Viyashlin. And he has to pay the rest. Meaning that we say that it works. Meaning that the fact that he handed her one pruta already, that's enough to start the marriage to get it going. And then the remainder will remain a loan, or he'll owe her the remaining 99 because she's some chadaka. She relies on the fact that she's going to pay her back. So why don't over here? How come over here it's different? So lema kidanai amrei b'shmaite. Let's say now that Rabbi Elazar is poor, is really a machlokas tanaim, because our tanaim are arguing about the fact when he only hands her a part of the money, right, whether it works or not. Where it says no. Amrei mana chaser dinar ksipa la milsa the mitzvah. Mana chaser tishin v'teisha lo ksipa la milsa. It's a difference in how much is missing the mitzvah. I mean that in a case where everybody would agree, in a case where he says, I'm going to give you 100 and hands her one, she's not embarrassed to ask for that other 99. He gave her so little of what he owes her, it's clear that she's going to ask for the rest, and she'll be sampadata that she's going to get the rest. Over here, the problem is that he gave her 100 and it's missing one. So the question is it too petty to ask for the last one? Or not?
If he only gives one, are we afraid that maybe he doesn't have 99?
Right, that's fine, because the rest will be alone. Meaning that he'll be Makadish with the Pruta, that one Pruta, and the remainder will remain. Right, there's a Pruta up front, or the Dinar up front will work, and then the rest will be a Milva that he'll marry with, which will be fine. He owes it to her, Sam Chadata. She's relying on the fact that he will pay her for the rest, and she's Gomar Mikne Nafsha. So therefore, she gives herself over at the first time on the Samchus that she's going to get the rest. So at 99, she assumes she's going to collect the rest because she can ask for it. Problem is, when he gives her 100 and he gives her 99, she's not certain she's going to have the last one because she's too scared to ask for the last one because she's embarrassed to ask for the last one, or we say she's not embarrassed to ask for the last one. So this Makom Tanaim is not really relevant to Rabbi Elazar's statement. It's a different amount. One is a petty amount, so that's a question of embarrassment or not. The other one is a huge amount, and therefore she's not clear that she's going to ask for it, and she's some Kodato. So now we move on to a new Brisa. Meitavei. Omer Lisha, Yikachili Pikadon, Shishli Beyadech. Marry me with the pikadon that I have in your hands. Ba'alcha, umatzato, shiganav, osh'abad. She goes to look for the pikadon that he says I'm married to you with, and it's gone. It's either lost or stolen. If there's at least a pruta's worth left, mikudeshet. Imlav, eino mikudeshet. If not, it doesn't work. Ubimilve, when it comes to a loan. Apo bishalo nishtari menushev pruta, mikudeshet. Even though there's not even a pruta left, she can marry with it. All right, so now you can already see we're running into a problem already. This is Mekadesh B'milveh. So how's this working? Rabbi Shimon Elazar Meir, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Meir, Milveh Harihu Kipikadon. That a Milveh is the same as a Pikadon. What does it mean that a Milveh is the same as a Pikadon? That you need a Pruta left at the end. Right, you still need a Pruta left in the end in order to work. So the Gemara is going to ask the question. Adlan Lo Pligen. Right, both of them agree that you can use a loan to marry with. The only argument about is how much is left of that loan. But either one of them agrees that you can marry. So that's what I'm going to ask now. What do you mean? This is a problem for Rab, right? This is going to become a Machlokas Tanayim again, whether you can be Mekadesh the Milver. Over here, it sounds like they all believe you can be Mekadesh the Milver. I can look like the Ela de Mar Sever Milver, Apagab the Luni Shari Menu Shevet Puta, or Mar Sever Nishari Menu Shevet Puta. In the loan, Nishari Menu Puta, low. The only argument about was how much of the loan has to be left in order for it to work. About the Kuli Alma, Mekadesh the Milver, Mikudeshet, right? That everybody agrees that if you marry with a loan, you are Mikudeshit. That's a huge problem. Rav just made a statement, right, that a Mekadesh Mevilveh ain't a Mikudeshit. And here we have a Brisa with two Tanaim saying straight out, they don't even argue about this issue, that a Mekadesh Mevilveh ain't a Mikudeshit. Samar Rava says, Betizbara. That is, again, does this make any sense? All right, now I'll point out again over here that Rashi, when it says that Mekadesh B'milve, right, says Shiesh N'ba'en. Again, that the money is around. It's still around. Right, so they're arguing about how much of the money still has to be around or not be around. Again, Rashi is, again, this refrain that it has to be there, the money, and we're going to see this in a second why, but what Rashi keeps talking about is that the money must still be there. Right, so now, the Gemara says, Rava says, V'tizbro, does this price really make sense? Hamakartzta, how do you know this brisa is a good brisa? Hamashabeshtahi. The reason it's a brisa is because it's not qualified, meaning it doesn't make sense, the brisa. Why is that? Hapik yichadon heichi dami. What's the case of yichadon in this brisa? Either kabel alei achrayut, Haino Milvin, that if the woman accepted Akhrayut on the Pikadon when it was given to her, and that she was, if the Pikadon got lost or stolen, but she's responsible for it, then Haino Milvin. Then when the Pikadon is gone now, it's really a loan. She owes him the money. So that's equivalent of a loan. Either low Kabbalah Akhrayut, if she did not accept Akhrayut in it, Yoki Adatani Seife Ube Milvin, then if you wanted to differentiate between cases, why bring a case of Pikadon and Milvin? You could have done it in Pikadon itself. You could say, you could have created a two cases within the case of Pikadon. But it's a case where she didn't accept Akhrayut, that's not a loan, that's a Pikadon. Whereas, right, then when she accepts Akhrayut, it becomes the equivalent of what is a loan. Right? Even though there's not a Pruta left in Mikudeshet. So the best is, the brisa makes no sense. The fact that the brisa switched from Pikadon to Milveh already shows that this brisa is questionable in its authenticity. Because if you really wanted to create two cases, it could have created two cases within Pikadon. It could have created this two equivalent, a case of Pikadon and a case of Milveh within Pikadon itself. The fact that it went from Pikadon and jumped to Milveh already suggests there's something wrong with this brisa. So there's something wrong with this brisa, you can't bring me any proofs against Rav from such a brisa. Right? So this is how you have to explain this brisa. The case of Milvin, this brisa is like this. Over Milvin, apple peach nishkar shavikuta in mikudeshet. Mishum elazar mer mishum remeil Milvin hariyuk kedon. By my commissioner, what are they arguing about? Omer Rabo, Ashkechino the Rabbanon de Bei Rav. I found the Rabbanon. Now Bei Rav here doesn't mean the base measure is a Rav. Whenever it uses this term, like Rashi points out over here, whenever it says Bei Rav, it means the Talmid Chachamim in the base measure. It doesn't mean Rav in particular, but in the base measure. The Yati Gamre, the Milveh B'Shut Balam L'Chazara. Now what we're talking about here is when the loan is in the hands of the Balim, meaning in the hands of the Lobah, still are the owners allowed to reverse it? Who had in the own sin commitfully, and they're also arguing about if something happens to it at that point. What does that mean? It means this is the case that the Tosfos Ari Azakin talked about on the first Amud. This is a case where the Malveh gives to the Loveh the money, and the money is still with the Loveh at that point in time. He hasn't spent the money yet. What's the din of that money? Does the Malveh have the right, number one, to reverse himself and say, I want my money back? Number two is, who's responsible for the money? At that point in time, who's responsible for the money? If the Malveh can reverse his position, sounds like it's still the Malveh's money. If he can reverse, maybe he's if it gets stolen at that point, the Malveh will also be responsible. And that's what the machlokes is between right, the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Elazar is. The Marsavar Milveh B'Shus Loveh Kaima, right, that the loan is in the possession of the Loveh. V'ad in Onsin, the same with Onsin, meaning that the Malveh cannot reverse his position anymore, meaning that once it goes to the Loveh, it's the Loveh's money, even if he hasn't spent it yet, it's his, and he doesn't have to reverse his position, he can't reverse his position, and if it gets stolen, it'll be the Loveh's responsibility. No, that is, till the money is spent, it belongs to the Balaam, it belongs to the original owners. Vuadin, the Onsin, and so too the Onsin. Right, so that, everybody, so the machlokas here has to do with when the money is not spent. Right, when the money is not spent, what's the din of that money? Right, is the money belong to the Loveh, or does it belong to the Malveh? That'll be the machlokas between them. How does that help Rav? That helps Rav, because what's Rav going to say? That Rav holds like this, that because Rav said, Perish Moveh, and Mekudesh. Now, how does that differ from these opinions over here? So Rav's case is going to be a case where Rav will just say, when he already started to spend the money. Okay, they're arguing in a case where they didn't spend the money. Right, the money is still here. Rav's going to spend his case. You won't have to deal with these Tanaim. He'll say it's a case where they already start to spend the money. Start to spend the money. Everybody agrees that's already a milveh that belongs to the loveh. That's in a mikudeshit. So there won't be any machlokas in that instance. So that's, now, once we explain the price this way, Rav is off the hook. So the argument is, when does a loan start? Does a loan start from the moment you get the money? Or does a loan start from the money time that you spend to expend the money? And that's the way to read Tosri Yazakim. This is probably what drove the sheet of Tosri Yazakim before. The machlokas lozani not or labo zolni not. He explained it according to this, basically this Gemara. Lozani aloha zolni not means whether I started to spend the money or not. I mean, is the money with me still, or have I already started to spend the money? Because the Gemara already introduced this possibility that there is a difference between when you own the money, when the money's still here, and when you start to spend the money. So now, so the Gemara says, I said to them, this is right, Rabba, who found the Bay Rav saying this, he says, I said back to him, the Onsin, it's impossible to believe that the Malvish are responsible for the Onsin. It's in the hands of the Lovet. How could you ever argue that the Malvish, that Lovet has it in his house, and the Malvish is going to be responsible for something that happens to the money? He can't watch it, he can't control it anymore in that sense. So everybody has to agree that the Lovet is responsible for anything that happens to the money at this point, because the Malvish has no. Right. That's the case. That's even the reason that we said that ma'ot are that you need mishicha and ma'ot are not konot. Even ma'ot, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though ma'ot are konot min haTorah, we still stay in the mishicha because we don't want to say nifasu chitech ba'aliyah. We don't want a person to say that you're I sold you your stuff. It was sitting in my aliyah and it burnt down in the house. Oh, you have the exact same problem here. You have the lover with the money and he says, yeah, my house burnt down. Your money was in there and you know what? I left it behind because the lover is not responsible. So it's got to be that the lover is responsible for this money. That's no question. My time up, the Gara Mishela. Should be no different than borrowing. Mashela the Hadra Be'ena. In Sheila, in the case of Sheila, when you borrow an object, you have to give the actual object back. Chayv Onsin, right there, you're Chayv and Ones. And here, even though the object that's the Malva's object that he converts, you're giving back to him. Milva Lokos, again, a Milva where you have the ability to spend the item and not give it back to him, it's certain that you aren't going to be responsible for Onsin. You're going to be responsible for the Onsin over here because it's clearly much more yours than a case of She'ela, and there you are, Chayv and Onsin. Hello. The only machlokas between them is whether the malva can back out or not back out. So that's the case. Is everybody agrees the lova is responsible for onsin, but they're going to argue about if the lova still has the money and has not spent the money yet. Can the malva pull the loan? Can he still pull the loan or not? So now what are you going to do with this? Person who borrows a hatchet from his friend. Bikabo kinao. If he chops with it, he makes a kinyan on it. Lo bikabo, if he does not chop with it, lo kinao. Right, then he does not get possession of it. So lema kitanai. That should be the same as our machlokas tanaim over here. What does our machlokas tanaim over here suggest? That when the money is still with the loveh, we have a question whether the malveh can reverse the position. Once he spends the money, right, everybody agrees that it's good. Once he spends the money, everybody agrees that the lova is responsible, the malva can't back out. So now, Rav Huna made a statement by an axe, or by a hatchet, that only once you use the hatchet does it become your responsibility. Before you use the hatchet, it still belongs to the mashiel, to the one who's lending it to you. Wait a minute. And a hatchet, before you use it, is equivalent of money before you spend it. And money before you spend it, we just said, was a machlokas panayim, whether the malva can pull the loan, right? And there we said that by onsin, he's definitely chayav. But over here, Rav Huna is saying, first of all, he won't be chayav for the onsin. And number two is, right, he doesn't show any machlokas, right? He's making a definitive statement that before he uses the hatchet, it's clear that the master can pull the hatchet. So it should be that he can be clear, he pulls the loan. So now the Gemara says, no, that's a difference. So it says, look, I can lo pliki over milveh, to lo hadra be'ena. No, there's a clear difference between milveh. Milveh, you're going to argue about the milveh, that doesn't, the object doesn't come back. The money does not come back. So therefore, you can argue, or there could be an opinion, that even before you spend it, it's already gone. As soon as the man to the lovet, the malva no longer has any control over it because that's the whole point of money being given to a lovet. He's not going to return that money to you. He's going to return either an equivalent or monetary value or monetary equivalent. Right? But when you borrow something, there, what he lends you, you have to give back. In that instance, if I call bigabo in, lo bigabo lo, then everybody agrees, right? Everybody's gonna agree that until you use it, the malva can pull it. The lender can pull it. Why? Because it's his object, and you're gonna have to return that same object. So until you use it, you really haven't taken possession over the she'ilah. But again, these are different, totally different types of cases. We're talking about one object where you've the mashal still has ownership over it, and he will get back that object, and he still has a controlling, stake in this item because he's going to get it back. Because by milpa, right, there's at least a avamina, or at least an opinion possible that when you give the money, which you never intend to get back, that already once you've given it, it's gone. It's left your possession, and you don't have to spend it for it to leave your possession. Tosos also qualifies and says that the machloka is never kahuna statement about bigabo or no bigabo, it's only about whether the mashal can pull it. But the only statement, the shoal is chayv as soon as he makes a kinyan on it, right? The shoal is chayv right away. The only question is can he pull it or not pull it, okay? Because that we said before, everybody agrees for onsin, the lov is chayv, and the nishal, right, the shoal is chayv for the onsin. The question is, can you pull it or not? The shoal asks, why not? It's his object, why can't he pull it? So that's something in American law is a equivalent call, which is called detrimental reliance or reliance. And then if I ask you for something, right, and then you lend it to me, and then I'm relying on the amount of time or the effort given to you, right? I made other commitments. Right. If I make another commitment, I say, I think on a project and I'm going to use this axe. Now, if I don't have an axe, I can't finish the project. I've relied on your statement to do this. So again, I think that's the same kind of concept here. That once the mashal, you rely on what he said and you start using it, he can't pull the plug on it because then, right, he obligated himself into this. Whereas if I haven't used it yet, then the mashal already is it. Right. Then
that's so simple. Right. Even then,
he says, I relied on him and I got the project. Now the Gemara says, "Dema Kitanai." So now the Gemara is back to saying that Rav's statement is a machlokas tanai. We closed up that brisa. Now we're on to a new question, right? Dema Kitanai. Let us say that we have an additional machlokas tanai with regards to Rav's statement. What? He casually be sharchol, right? Be mekashmi with this sharchol. Oshi alo milva biyadachirim, or he had a loan out to others. Veirsha alehem, and he allows her to collect the loan on his behalf. But Rameh Omer Bikudeshit, Rameh says it works, so Rameh Nehru Bikudeshit. So now, what's the case here?
What's the difference between two cases?
Alright, good question. Hi, Starko, hey, Kedon. What's the case here of Starko? Elamir Starko Da'achemim, right? This is what Zvi just asked. If it's someone else's Starko, meaning that someone else owes him money, Hainu Milba Bi'arachemim. That's the same equivalent of saying in the second case in the Braisa, which is, I have a loan out to somebody, I'm giving you rights to collect the loan. The law of Starko Dido must be that it's a loan to her, and he owes it. She owes him money. What are they arguing about? Whether he can say to her, what? Your loan is, I can use your loan to be Mekadish with it. Somebody says, no. Somebody is not willing to entertain that. It says, Lo'olam Shtarchov Da'achirim. Now we're back to Tzvi's question. If it's Shtarchov Da'achirim, then the price talks about the two same cases. Ba'achav B'milba B'shtar, or B'milba B'apek Mitzligay. Two cases. One case is a loan that was done with a document, and one is a case of a loan that's done the Apek. Today's daf will only get to the Milba B'shtar, what they're arguing about. Tomorrow's daf will deal with the Milba B'apek. So now, the Milba B'shtar, that says, I lent someone money with a shtar. Reuven lent Shimon money with the shtar. Now he goes to this woman and says, I'm giving you the shtar, and you collect from Shimon. That value that he gives her, right, is enough to marry with. Rabbi Meir says, yes, it works. The Chum say, it doesn't work. Why? So that has to do with another machlokas. What's that? The argument in the position of Rabbi and the Rabbanan. What is that? It's Tanya. Otiot niknot dimisira dibe Rabbi. Rabbi believes that you can actually give over a contract to someone else. Otiot. Otiot means that which is written on a contract. It's equivalent to what we call a bearer bond. Whoever has the bond is entitled to collect. So over here too, whoever holds the shtar is the one who's entitled to collect. So this man who wants to mekadesh this woman can hand the shtar to her, and now she becomes the malveh. She becomes the one, the ability to collect. That's what Rabbi believes. Chamir mi, ben shekatav v'lo masar, ben shemasar v'lo katav, lo kana shikhtov v'imtor. That the only way you can hand over a shtar to someone else is, number one, you have to hand them the shtar. Number two is you have to actually write them a new document which entitles them to collect, that you're actually giving them ownership of the stock. So according to Chachamim, you need two things. You need to hand the loan document to them, right? Plus, you must write an additional document that says that she's now the owner of this document or entitled to collect the loan. Without that, right, it doesn't work. So now what's my focus here? It's a case where he gave her a shtar chov. He handed her a shtar chov without writing anything, and now she's collecting it. Mar Sarva Iplay the Rabbi. Rabbi Meir believes that Rabbi, the din's like Rabbi, the lacha is like Rabbi, that Otiot Mesira, that's enough to hand the document over. Therefore, he can be mekudeshet with it. Mar Lesley the Rabbi. And the right Chachamim will say, in a mekudeshet, hold like the Rabbanan that argue on Rabbi and say that you also need a ktiva, you need an additional document. Since he didn't make an additional document over here, the loan is not hers. The loan is not hers, he can't be mekudeshet.
What is she being
mekudeshet? It says, with this, I'm going to with this star that entitles you to collect milvah shalachim. So in that case, that entitlement, that is money, the star is put what we call money good. And since somebody would pay you something to buy that star, that would happen every day with your credit card. You go into a store, right, and you buy something with a credit card. What does that mean? That I'm basically, I owe money, right, and I'm buying with that money that I owe, the credit card company is buying that from the storekeeper. Do they pay them 100 cents on the dollar? No. They pay them a discount to what the true value is, but they're willing to pay something to take on that loan. So that's again, you're generating a loan, right, and then you're selling that loan. That loan has value. When you sell that loan, it's clear value, absolute value today, and that's what he's marrying with, that value. Okay, so the word goes on and says, the kuli amo let lehu derabi. No, everybody does not hold like Rabbi. So Tosu says from over here, you can conclude that the lofa is not like Rabbi. It's important that you can't give over a star or a document to collect with it unless you have Nasira plus Kitiva. I need both of them. So Kulam, let's do Rabbi, because the Gemara had another option. The Gemara said, Kulama, is good with Rabbi. The Gemara could have been, we'll see in a second, the Gemara could have gone the other way. The fact that it didn't go that way shows that the Gemara believes the lofa is not like Rabbi. So it's Kulama, let's do the Rabbi. Everybody agrees that they don't hold like Rabbi, and in order to give over a document, you both need to hand her the star quote, plus write her an additional document. Ubahach of the Republic of Mithligay. They're arguing about the position of Republic. Some Republic, Haiman, the Zubin, Star, Lakabre. Someone sells a contract to his friend. Sarka Mithgavle, Kneilach, who? Bechos Shibudeh. That not only does he have to, when he writes in the document, he doesn't have to just write, right, Kneilachah, that this is your document now. He has to write, it's your document, plus all Shibud. And all Shibud that exists here also belongs to you. So now what happened here? He wrote her a document. He went ahead and handed her a shtar chov. Not only did he hand it to her, he wrote a document that says, Kenei Lachah, that she has, you have rights to this document. He wrote her a document saying that. But he didn't write in it. V'chol Shibudei Delay. So therefore, Mar Yisrael, the Rav Papa, right? The Chachamim hold like Rav Papa that you need the additional Shibudei there, and therefore this handing over the document is invalid. It's invalid, Eina Nikudeshin. Mar Yisrael, the Rav Papa. And the other one, right? More likely the Rav Papa. And Rav Meir doesn't hold the Rav Papa. And therefore, when he wrote Kenei Lachah, that was sufficient in the document, and it becomes her loan, and he can be Mekadesh with it. V'ibai Seima, of course, the Gemara goes on and says, Kuliyama Islahu the Rav Papa. Everybody holds like Rav Papa that if you want to give over a loan, you have to give over the loan. It's Kenei Lachah, B'chol Shibudei. And all of it,
Shibudei. What?
Right,
what's
that? Oh, no. This is the case. No, because it's not the same logic. Over there, the Gemara had a positive. Tosu says the Gemara had a possibility of going the other way. You'll see in a sec. If the Gemara could have said like this, Kula Ama Ishlahu the Rabbi. Everybody holds like Rabbi, then Otiot and Sirot, Mesira. Yet, they could still be arguing in Rav Papa. Why? Because even when you give it over orally, then Mesira, what do you have to say? You have to say Kenei Lachah or Kenei Lachah Kol Shibudei. So Tosu says that they were both equal options. The fact that the Gemara chose the other option shows you that the Gemara doesn't believe that. That's not true.
So, right. Rav Papa would be the same either way.
Exactly. So that's why Tosa says it guides you towards Rabba. Over here, you're going to see that the way we have to go is that you have to have Rabba, and what's that? Kabul Lama Yisrael the Rabba, every other Rabba, all come to Shmuel Kamislege. Here we're arguing about Shmuel. The Amr Shmuel says, right, Amocher Shtarchov Lichabero, Mechazaru Mechalo, Machul. Right, we had this earlier, we had this in the Subway, we had this in Ksubos, we had this in other places, that a person who sells a Shtarchov to his friend and then goes ahead and forgives the loan is forgiven. Not only if he forgives it, but I feel your show. Here, if the son of the one who generated the loan and sold it, he can be mochel on the loan, right? So now Shmuel says that when you can sell a document or when you sell something, you're only able to sell the actual loan itself. I mean, the ability to the schut gviya or schut gvina. That means that you're gobaina, that you're able to sell the ability to collect the loan. What you aren't able to sell is the shibur aguf that the lova has towards the malka. The shibur aguf that remains to the malka, that he can't sell, and that remains in place. Because that remains in place, when you're mochel on the loan, you're able to remove that shibur aguf that remained there, and that causes a problem from the one who bought the loan. Alright, so now, Mar Islay du Shmuel, or Mar Islay Shmuel, that's exactly their machlokas. How much value is left with the malva, the original lender? So that's here. If you say, if you hold like Shmuel, that he can forgive the loan, when he hands it to the woman, right, he hands the document to the woman, he did it all right. He gave her the loan, he gave her the loan back. He wrote down, he did everything, he hands it to her. But you know what? He can pull the plug on the loan at any time. He can be mochel on the loan. He can pull the plug on the loan, the woman says, no way, I'm not into the kaddish with this, because he can pull the plug on me. That's not real value. I don't see that as real value if you hold it small. That, so that's why the Chum is an enemy possession. The other one, Rabbi Meir holds like, I'm not like Shmuel, says, no, once you give over a loan like that, you can't forgive it. If you can't forgive it, then the woman's fine. I can collect this loan, it's a good loan, I'll get married with that. So that's the way to explain the machlokas. Everybody holds a Shmuel. I mean, just as an aside, to your point, Shaul, that in all these cases, the Gemara's going like the way we passed it. Yibai Seima is like the Shmuel that we do hold like Shmuel, which is, you should have commit so that everybody agrees that you can forgive a loan. But now there's a difference.
Is the guy who bought it,
if he sold it to a Christ or not, that will depend, right, how he sold it to you. Alright, so now, Yibai Seima, the Kulayama, Islahu, the Shmuel. Right, everybody has this position of Shmuel, which believes what? That the Malve can forgive the loan. But now it's different. The Isha Kamiflagay, they argue about a woman. Why? What's different about a woman? Marsara Isha Samkhadata. A woman relies on the fact that she's getting married at this point. This Malve now is her husband. And he says, take this loan document. You're now the collector of this document. You're now the collector of this loan. And with that, Hana, you're going to marry me. Now they're married. So the original owner of the loan is now married to her. Is he going to go and forgive the loan and pull the rug out from under her when she's his wife? No way. Right, that's not. He's gonna leave me, you know, he's gonna pull the rug under me and take care of someone else? No. I'm gonna be the one who picks up first. And then she's Sumech Das and says, I'll get married with this, even though he has the right to be mochel, she says I still Sumech Das because I'm his wife now, right? Because he won't do it. Even a woman won't do it, right? That she wasn't relying on this because she knows the fact that there's a possibility of being forgiven, it doesn't have higher value to it. And again, the question of whether if you forgive the loan, does he have to repay it? Shaul's question, that becomes an option. Meaning that if you sell without chayut, it's clear he has to return it. If you sell without chayut, then the person's going to pay less money for that because then it becomes an option. He has always at risk that the original malva will forgive it. If you know that the original malva could forgive it, you'll pay much less for that than you would pay for it if you know he can't forgive it. So that will change the value of the item, you know, depending on whether he has the right to forgive it or not to forgive it. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll do a little bit of a pet tomorrow.